Hello and welcome back to the Middling Along podcast. I'm your host, Emma Thomas, and my guest today is author Tracy Bloom. Tracy has come to talk to us about her latest book, The Time of Her Life. She's got a string of several bestsellers already under her belt, though.
My husband got offered a 3-year contract in the US. I just had a baby. I couldn't work. And so that's what made me start writing. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll write a book, as you do. And so I joined a creative writing evening class at a community college, which was brilliant fun. Met some amazing Americans there. And I just did it. And I used to do it whilst my son slept in the afternoons. And then occasionally I'd go and sit in the Barnes & Noble and write there. And then, yes, I just cracked on.
So tell us then about your latest book. So it's called The Time of Her Life. And the sort of the main protagonist is Kim. She's a hairdresser. And I think it's fair to say her husband's 50th party doesn't exactly go to plan.
No, no. She throws this amazing party for her husband and he turns, it's surprise, doesn't bode well, does it? Surprise 50th birthday, does this amazing speech where she says how much she loves him, talks about how they met, all this kind of stuff. And then they get to the clearing up bit at the end and he announces that he's having an affair with the next door neighbour. So her life literally just falls apart. And it happens to be the night before they're due to take their son to university for the first time the following day. So she ends up taking him and she ends up staying with him.
It's so kind of diametric opposite of the empty nest.
Exactly. I follow you. I've solved this empty nest issue. There we go. I'm coming with you. So she moves in with 3 18-year-old boys. And so she's sort of approaching her late 40s. So that, as you can imagine, presents its challenges. And so, but basically, her whole life's been ripped away from her. And it's her journey in terms of how to, finding herself again, picking up the pieces, realising that in order to create her family, the sacrifices she's made during that. So she has to start all over again. And she's doing that to the backdrop of these three lads who are also really finding their way. They're starting university for the first time. So there's a bit of sort of learning off each other as they go on this new journey of self-discovery together. So there's plenty of humour in there. But yeah, the main thrust really is about her finding what she's going to be and what she's going to do post her whole life falling apart.
And there's obviously some tension in there. I mean, I can imagine the last thing that a sort of an 18-year-old wants when they move into their student digs is their mum tagging along. getting drunk and throwing up on the living room carpet.
Yes, yeah. Well, there's some interesting sort of role reversal in it all because she didn't go to university. So there's a little bit of she sort of rediscovering being young again. And so it's not always the teenagers who are getting drunk and thrown up on the carpet. She does a little bit of that herself. she finds her freedom again.
What gave you the sort of the inspiration for that? I was going to say anybody you know, but maybe that's a...
it's a really weird one, this one. So I literally turned 50 a couple of years ago and I said to my agent, I've got, so I write romantic comedies and I said to my agent, I don't have any romance left in me at all. All I can think about is murder, which I think is probably quite a common train of thought for most middle-aged women. So I got all these ideas for like a murder mystery. And then, but then I, off the cuff, I said, the only thing I can think of that's sort of more in line with what I normally write is that I've just had this idea of a mum moving into a son's student flat share. And I had nothing else, and I don't know where it came from. I had nothing else other than that. And my agent said, that's the one. That's the book you need to write. So I was like, oh, okay, right. I need to do some development around that idea. So yeah, I've racked my brains. Where did that thought come from? And I cannot remember. It's very weird where inspiration comes from. I don't know where, mm-hmm. but that's how it started. Literally, that little kernel.
Do you think we're seeing more of these kind of 50-something or kind of midlife protagonists coming through now for sort of those of us who've grown up on like you say, the kind of books that you were writing sort of maybe 10, yes. 15 years ago and progressed on to the sort of the next stage?
I think we are, slowly but steadily. I think we're making real progress in TV in particular. So there's loads of great old, you know, I don't want to say the word old, but middle-aged women, female characters. And so I always think about the star character of Happy Valley, for example. Mm-hmm. Sarah Lancashire's character in that is just amazing. She's funny, she's smart, she's got her faults, she's everything. And I think seeing characters like that on the TV really help across all the media. So I think in TV we've made real inroads in terms of getting that age group of character on the screen. I think it's a bit slower with novels and fiction. I think we still seem to be slightly obsessed with Bridget Jones still, and that we still seem to want that escapist romance, and that seems to dominate. But it's definitely moved a lot further ahead than it was probably over the last 5 years or so. And where you used to see middle-aged women being like a secondary character, they're now becoming lead characters, and the issues around women and what they're facing in midlife is now seen a lot more in fiction than it used to be.
And obviously we don't want to give away exactly what happens to Kim in terms of her where her story ends up. But I think it's really interesting that kind of, it's a crunch point, isn't it, that a lot of people get to sort of around the time teenagers leaving, going off to uni or whatever it is that they're doing, and sort of probably something as well to do with the sort of the estrogen levels plummeting and the kind of the nurturing leaving your body. whether your kind of your hand is forced or not, I think it's definitely a sort of a time when people are reevaluating things, yeah. Like relationships.
I think it feels like it's a real time of reflection, isn't it? And I wonder if that partly the catalyst for that is time. Suddenly it feels like you have this, when your kids are younger, then you're just mad busy, aren't you? And you haven't got 5 minutes to yourself. And then suddenly time creeps in and, you know, you're going through changes as well. And I think it's a real time for reflection and sort of so did I make all the right decisions? Would I do it differently? And hopefully the main thing that you get out of that is that actually it's all about what you want to do going forward and learning to make the right decisions that suit you going forward. Whereas it might have been previously, your decisions might have been very much driven by the needs of other people. So I think it's a really interesting time, and you have to get to the point, don't you, where you see it as an opportunity, right? Rather than, oh God, I'm getting old. No, it's you know, suddenly it's an opportunity, and somehow trying to learn from your past and apply that to your future and work out who you want to be. And this is pretty much what Kim goes through in the book. So, and as you say, try not to give away her ending.
She's a hairdresser, and I was thinking about her actually because I was lucky enough to see my lovely hairdresser earlier on today, and you know, it's very much, you know, it's that sort of confessional element, isn't it, when you're sort of going and chatting to the hairdresser and somehow I think sort of not being face to face with somebody makes it a lot easier for things to come out and to be shared. And
I think hairdressers should write novels because the stories they must have heard through this course of their career must be incredible. I think, you know, the amount of information and insight they must take in must be fabulous. So yeah, it's almost worth as a writer taking up a bit of hairdressing on the side just to
get more material.
Exactly, yeah. Not that I would let me cut anybody's hair. that would be a total disaster.
I tried it a few times with the children. I was banned in no uncertain terms for
I did have to do it during lockdown, and yeah, that ended badly.
when we leave Kim, do you think has she got a second book in her? Do you think, would you go back to her story?
Funny enough, so I've had loads of, it's been really interesting because this, my sort of, very definitely my lead characters have grown old with me. So when I first started writing 17 years ago, I was very much writing about women who had just, probably just had kids, just got together with their partner, and now I'm writing about middle-aged women. And so the storylines have changed quite dramatically, and I've had lots of really, really good feedback on this book, which has surprised me because it isn't a traditional storyline. And I wonder if that's why. It's because it's about, you know, this isn't a romance, really. There's some romantic elements in there, but the solution to Kim's story isn't romance or a man. It's a very different kind of solution. And I keep wondering whether that's partly why I've had really good feedback, is that it's that people really like that journey, that it's a different journey that you're following through the novel. I don't know. I found it really interesting that, so for my mum, for example, my harshest critic, says she said she thought it was one of the best, one of my best. And that really surprised me. And I'm sort of trying to ask her, why do you think that is, mum? And I think it's because it is a slightly unusual storyline, and a storyline that hopefully that is very relatable. And maybe that's why it's really relating to people, and they get it and they're enjoying it.
I was definitely expecting a certain thread in the ending that didn't materialise. So in a way, that was quite gratifying. I was like, oh, she doesn't need to be saved. She's saving herself.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and we have lots of great conversations about, you know, fiction and books and what she's reading and what have you. And I've just written the first draft for my next book, and it's a book set at Christmas, and I've written a whole section about fairy tales and how awful actually really fairy tales are, because the solution for women in fairy tales is always to get a man to fall in love with her. And you're like, hang on a minute, does that always have to be the happy ending? So it's interesting, as I've, you know, grown as a writer and I've got older as a writer, that I can feel myself pulling away, rightly or wrongly, from the happy ending always being romance, or, you know, it just feels like there's so many other options, opportunities. Obviously, having a loving partner is brilliant and is a happy ending, but there are other ways and there are other journeys that women go on. So I find it a really interesting area that I've been sort of really thinking really hard about with the book, with my book writing as I've got older.
I'm sure there are many people listening who've sort of always thought that they have a book in them. Apparently we all do. But as somebody who sort of segued from one kind of career into a writing career, how, you know, what did you do to make that work for you? What were the steps that you went through to get to where you are now?
Yes. So I have just to reassure everybody, I have nothing in my background could ever say that I would become a published writer. So I am the total example of anyone can do it. So I didn't, I didn't write fiction as a child. I haven't got lots of, you know, I didn't even write a diary, but I've always loved words, always loved reading, etc. So I think the things that made the massive difference for me, when I first started, I joined a creative writing class at this local college near me in the States. And I wouldn't say I learned anything practical, but it made me write. That's key. And we had to take examples of our work every week. And so we shared that. And I think it also showed me that I was good at that I had something. Because by comparing to other people who are all sort of amateurs like me and all aspiring to be published authors, and comparing what I was doing and listening to the discussions, I felt like, yes, it gave me the reassurance that I wasn't barking up the wrong tree and I was completely useless. So that was really, really useful. And then I think the other thing is write what you want to write. Don't try and write for the market, particularly when you're trying it for the first time. Write what you feel. That's really important. And then the critical thing is to finish it. You want to get published. It sounds like a really tiny thing, but if you want to get take it forward and get it published, there will be a point where you have to decide it's finished, and it will not be perfect. I can absolutely guarantee that. And you can talk to anybody. I bet you can talk to J.K. Rowling, and she'll say, "Are you 100% happy with any of your books?" And she'll say, "No." You will never ever get to the point where you've written a book and it's perfect. It's just impossible. So you have to have the guts to say it's done and then progress to the next stage. And that's quite, I meet so many authors who say, "Oh, I've been writing a book for 10 years," unpublished authors who've been, they say, "I've been writing a book for 10 years. And you go, "Yeah, well,
probably still be writing it in another 10 years if you don't know."
Yeah, you've got to learn that discipline of saying it's done. And then in terms of then the publishing process, there's lots of options these days. It's actually never been easier to get published. It's very hard to get to sell in volume. It's easy to get published. There's lots of brilliant digital publishers out there who writers can send manuscripts to direct. You no longer have to go through an agent, which is how it used to be. So all of that is good and bad. It's good that it's easier, but it's difficult because it means that it's a very crowded marketplace. Actually selling books in any kind of volume is really difficult. And then the only bit of advice I'd give at that stage, if you are looking to get an agent, publisher, whatever, is just be professional and treat it as a, do your research, do what they say, you know, they'll give guidelines for submissions, do exactly what they say, and just be professional about it. Treat it as a professional job. So, and just go for it. As I say, there's nothing in my background that would indicate that one day I'd become a published author. So it is... Anyone can do it. It's not easy. It's hard work writing a book.
How long does it normally take you, sort of start to finish?
It's very hard to say. It depends on the deadline. If I've got a short deadline, miraculously, it takes me, I'm a lot quicker.
No procrastination here.
Exactly. If I've got a long deadline, then I fill that time. So I've been known to write a first draft in sort of 3 months. And that's really quick. And in some ways, I prefer to work like that because procrastination is just
you
the
can
devil.
Pick it all apart and just oh, be very critical.
Yeah, whereas if you're under pressure, you haven't got time for that. And that's actually a better way of working. So, yeah, who knows, 3 months. Yeah, I'm getting, it's taking me too long if I go above 6 months. That's I'm labouring it then. I need to decide it's finished and get on with it.
And what are you reading at the moment that you love?
Oh, I've just read. So I'm in a book group, which I can... book groups, I think, are just the best thing for women.
I love... My mother-in-law's got 2 book groups. I don't know if she's going to be listening to this. I think one of them where they actually read the book and one of them where they don't read the book and they just drink wine. I just love that.
Well, just... To be honest, it doesn't matter. No. I think book groups are a lovely reason for women mainly to get together and chat. And how great is that? It's just brilliant. And there's women in my book group who are sort of at the next stage of life. They've got kids already at university. So I learn some stuff at book group. I really do. So we've just read, Mrs. Benson's Beetle by Rachel, the lady who wrote Queenie and The Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Have you read that book?
I've read Queenie.
Yes, so that's really good. I am reading a John Boyne book at the moment, who's an Irish writer, and he wrote The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, I believe, albeit I've not read that one. What I like about his writing is his humour. He just slides that... He's just really good with his humour. He just slides these lines in that are just... awesome. So I'm on his second book now at the moment. And then what have I read recently that I've really enjoyed? I hope you've already read it. It seems like most people have. But Lessons in Chemistry, have you read that one?
Yes, love that. I was a bit late to the party with that one, but I've also watched they've made it into a Netflix, haven't they? Yeah. I haven't seen it, no.
I'm glad I've read the book, and then I will I'll go and watch that. And then I'm very, very excited. I don't know if you've heard that One Day has come out as a TV series on Netflix.
I saw something about that today, yes.
That's my favourite book of all time, I think. I think it's beautifully written. There's humour in it. It's so emotional. I think David Nichols is a god. I just think he's brilliant. And he's got a new book coming out this spring, and he doesn't write many, so I'll be really, really excited to read that, and I'm really excited to watch the TV series.
Do you ever find little sort of snippets of other writers finding their way?
Not really, no.
In your own style.
I avoid, I don't tend to read romantic comedies, which is interesting, and I think it's because either I'm scared I'll read them and I'll think they're really brilliant and that will frustrate
me. Stop.
Or I'll read them and get, and it will give me ideas, and I don't want, you know, I don't want other people's hard work to be, you know, to inspire, you know, like that feels unfair. So I tend to avoid romantic comedies. And also, I don't know, I've never quite found, I like Marianne Keyes, although she's not really a rom-com writer, but I've never really found another writer in that genre that I really sort of am keen to write, probably apart from David Nichols, who I think is just a genius, basically.
I'll keep an eye out for what's do you know what his new one
I know you're gonna ask me that.
No, I'll Google it.
I love the fact as well, I don't know if you read Us, which is a book that he wrote and was also dramatized, and that was about a couple, you know, who were struggling and the kids had left home, and it was very much an observation of marriage and all that, and you know, he's brilliant at observations on relationships, and I find that very, I just think the way he writes about marriage and relationships is just brilliant.
I haven't read that one. I should go and seek it out.
It's really good, yeah.
Well, here's to more fabulous female midlife role models in fiction. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. It was lovely to meet you. So Tracy Bloom's book, the latest book, The Time of Her Life, is out. It is HarperCollins. So I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to delve into that one. Has your upcoming one got a title yet, or is it still being...
It will be out at Christmas, and it's already up on Amazon, I think. So it's called The Secret Santa Project. There you go.
All right, we'll put a link to that one as well then.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Middling Along podcast. Do remember to subscribe to be notified when our next episode is live. And why not visit the blog at www.middlingalong.com to sign up to my newsletter as well. I do hope you enjoyed listening today. If you did, I'd be really grateful if you would consider leaving a short review, as that helps people find the podcast and helps get it noticed. Hope you can join us next time. Goodbye for now.